In an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you for that, John. Life Changes with Filippo, that name has come up, obviously, it comes up all the time now, thankfully. And recently, someone very close to me says, after having a conversation, you know, the show should be called Life Changes for Filippo, because I keep talking about, oh, because of the show, this happened, or I met this person and this happened, and it so much is changing in my life because of this show, and it and for our producers as well, and it makes us think, well, of course, it's natural. That's why we are doing this, because this is the kind of show we would support, and the kind of show that we want to listen to and watch and see on TV and that. So we're being the change we wish to see. So life is changing for us. Life is changing with us. And so here we are. So one of the examples of that is I get to experience so many wonderful things. For example, Dorothy Lee, she's an awakener, an accelerator, an activator. I mean, she's so many things. She's an energetic alchemy teacher and practitioner. I could go on and on. Now, here we know her as the lady who gives the State of the Universe address. But in our lives and in the lives of so many of our friends and so many of her clients, she's the one that helps people move energy and blockages and discover who they are and what they came to be and accelerate that process. So I get to have sessions with her and just move myself to the next level and grow, and so do us producers. And so we have the benefit of having her not only on our team as part of the show, but on our team in life. And then take, for example, last week we had Julian Michael on, or the week before, and he did numerology on me, and that's how I got to know him and his work even better, and that's, I couldn't wait to have him on the show. And then we had Michael Pattinson on, who's the visionary and futurist and founder of Star Tree Creative, and he says, Filippo, I want to give you a session after our interview. And so I got to experience him as he does his sessions. And boy, was that amazing. Remember how we talked about he was able to see music and then painted the music? Well, he sat in front of me and just looked at me and was able to see where my energy blockages were and what I could do with them and how I could move it. And wow. So, yeah, life changes for Filippo. And for that, I want to thank, of course, Michael and Dorothy and Julian and of course, all the producers and all of our guests. And it's just really exciting. But I'm the kind of person who thinks like that. I look at as many opportunities as I can to say, how can this make a difference in my life today? How can I make a difference in somebody else's life today? And I don't always think that way. Sometimes I forget to think that way, I should say. And so quite the opposite happens. But I'm doing my best. And thanks to this show, I am reminded over and over again that life changes and that we have the opportunity to make a choice. And my hope and trust is that at every step of the way, we can make the best choices, at least me. I'd like to talk about something that happened this weekend. I don't always have the time to go and see a movie. And this weekend, I took the time to do it. And it reminded me of a situation when I was growing up where As kids, we're taught to, we do crafts in school, right? In elementary school, we do arts and crafts. And more often than not, we are taught how to draw a turkey for Thanksgiving, or we're taught how to draw a cat or a dog or a tree or something. But more often than not, it's an animal, a bear. And the stories that we read or are read are about animals and our connection with them, and which is great. But I remember we were taught how to make marionettes, and we were showed how to make a cat marionette and a dog marionette. And I made a people marionette. I made a person. It kind of looked like a cat, but it was definitely a person. And I remember walking home proud of my person marionette. It was a man, and it was a brown-skinned man, and so proud of this marionette. And I walked it all the way home, and by the time it got home, the head was missing. And my father, when I told him, I called him, he left work and drove with me back and forth from school looking for the head of this person. And I'll never forget that. We finally found it. And he said that he was proud of me because he liked my work. But more importantly, that he had, that he was recognizing that I cared to make a person as opposed to just an animal. And that to me, there was a significance in giving life, so to speak, to a person and animating a person. And that, I don't know exactly what that means, but every day when I think about it, I think people are important. And I saw this animated feature this weekend, and it was called Up. And I don't really want to comment on the movie too much, except for the fact that Up was about people, not cartoon or just a cartoon, but or a weird figure or an animal that we fall in love with, but it was people. And the animated feature had us fall in love and feel the sentiments of people. And I thought that was that particular aspect. I thought was, it's time has come for us to look at people, ourselves and the people around us. And I thought, wow, and this whole concept of my father came back to my consciousness of him being proud that I made a people marionette. So with that, I think our guest for today is perfect for what we're talking about here, because in conversation with him, he shared something really special that it almost brought tears to my eyes, made me think, because he says we have so many organizations and we are taught to feel pity when we see or we are taught to take care of an animal that we see in the middle of the street, and we take in and take care of this animal, or we find it shelter, we don't leave it alone. But when it comes to people, we do. We leave people alone. When they're alone in the street or when they don't have a place to go, we'll take in a dog or a cat or find it at home, and we send emails to each other and post things all over the internet, find a good home for this cat or this dog, we don't want to put it to sleep, etc. But I have never seen an email from a friend saying, we need to find a home for this person. And there are a lot of people without homes. And so today, we've got Charles Hill on the show. And Charles Hill is a person who stopped thinking the way he was thinking and said, I've got to do something about this. And what he's doing is he's now the founder and president of an organization, a nonprofit organization that he's calling United Steps. And the mission of United Steps is to help the homeless of Los Angeles. And that's just for starters. And so he is here on our show today to help us change the way we look at homeless people and to share with us how his organization is changing lives. So please welcome to the show, Charles Hill.
Thank you very much, Filippo. It's great being here.
What did you think about that introduction about the people connection?
It's overwhelming. That's exactly how I feel. I think that we live in a wasteful society, unfortunately. As I mentioned earlier, our country wastes a lot. We waste food, we waste resources. But the most precious resource is a human being. That's the most precious resource we have in the world. And we're becoming immune to caring about human beings. We care about so many material things. We care about entertainment. We care about unwinding and going out partying. But we don't care about the people that don't have the means or the opportunities to do the same things that we have opportunities to do.
You know, I want to make sure that the audience doesn't misunderstand me. Thank you, all of you, for taking care of the animals and for bringing them in, and we don't want to see them in the streets as well. It's just a paradigm it's a shift that we need to remember, or is it remembering? Is it remembering we are people? What is that exactly?
Well, I think it's understanding that our similarities are with each other first, as human beings. Yes, we should care about every animal that we see. We see a stray dog, we see a stray cat, we see a bird, any type of animal, we should care about. We should care about, obviously, our plants. We should care about our natural resources. But we have to understand we connect with each other as human beings. That's who we're similar to, is the next human being. So it's easier for us to connect with another human being if we just make the attempt. Our organization is encouraging society, all members of society, starting in Los Angeles, to speak to homeless people when you see them on the streets. Years ago, I thought the right thing to do was to give a couple of dollars. And I did that. When I would pull up to 7-Eleven and buy a USA Today paper, I would see somebody outside asking for money, and I gave a couple of dollars. And for whatever reason, that made me feel good.
Right.
And it took years to understand that those people are still there. I would see the same person.
Oh, right.
But I would not put two and two together that my $2 is not really affecting the fact that they're homeless. Right. And I began wanting to find out, why are people homeless? What got you in the situation? So instead of giving money, I gave my time, 15 minutes. And spoke and introduced myself and inquired about them. And what began to happen is I found out I can learn as much or more from a homeless person as I can from anybody else. And homeless people have just as much to offer society as anybody else. Unfortunately, something occurred in their life that made them believe that they might not have something to offer. So if we continue to just give money or say they have a mental health issue or a drug issue and dismiss them and say, well, go to this shelter, line up, you know, 200 people, go in this big room, and, you know, and that's it, we're not addressing what got them in the predicament. And if we just, all of us, if we just take the time and actually speak to homeless people, then we're doing two things. We're educating ourselves on what is the cause of this monumental issue in Los Angeles, because we're the capital of homelessness, unfortunately.
In the whole United States.
In the whole United States.
Wow.
Three times more homeless people here than any city in the country. And it's not something to be proud of whatsoever. So we're learning what is creating this, but we're also simultaneously inspiring an individual to want to be productive and reconnect.
And the individual being the homeless person?
Correct.
Okay, so I want to ask you how you're doing that. But before I do, I want to ask you about your journey on how you came to this. Because, you're young, and you look like you're doing fine, and things are good, and you could be out partying and having a good time, and using your energy doing something else. But you're doing this.
Combination of reasons. I can't say one thing. One of the things that has occurred recently, I guess last season or the beginning of this season, I do go to a lot of Laker games, and
okay.
They play at the Staples Center, which is a very nice entertainment complex. And I was at a game, and all of a sudden it just hit me that I started thinking about the people that I passed by when I came into the arena.
Oh, because it's in downtown Los Angeles,
correct.
So that has a lot of homeless people there around it, right?
Correct. So as I'm enjoying an event that costs $175 to come in, which is not cheap, and I'm watching basketball, all of a sudden I'm wondering about myself. Am I that trivial? And I have to admit, I love sports. I still do. And I still watch and go to games. But at that moment, I was kind of embarrassed for myself and the 18 to 20,000 other people in the arena that could be so locked in onto what's happening on a basketball court when people just a few feet away outside of this arena have no place to sleep.
Wow.
And it's kind of embarrassing, and I assume responsibility for myself. I'm not going to stand outside and preach to everybody that spends their hard-earned money to watch a game or anywhere else. I'm not going to do that. People have the right to spend their time as they see fit. However, myself, I can't accept it. I can't accept knowing that wherever I go, I'm going to see a homeless person, and if I just give them a few minutes of my time, I can actually do something to turn around this cycle of homelessness.
Wow. You know, you just made me think of something that I couldn't wrap my mind around for the longest time, actually up until just now. A friend of mine was going to the Bahamas, and she was so excited because she had this hotel room that overlooked all the yachts and was right on the ocean and in a really nice hotel. And she was so excited about going. It was her vacation. She works very hard, yada, yada. And she came back and she said it was just okay. And I said, why was it just okay? She said, because I had a really hard time myself being there on this beautiful island overlooking the ocean and also seeing the people on the yachts coming out and the contrast of the homeless people right there on the dock begging and whatnot, and they didn't have a place to sleep. And she said, I felt guilty for spending all that money just for a week vacation when these people can't even live. And I was thinking, yeah, but what do you do? I mean, it exists. But now talking to you, and that's exactly what our show is about, you're kind of helping me bridge the gap here in the sense that, I mean, if everybody felt like Shewa did, then, and if everybody spoke up about it, I mean, maybe the cruise companies or the hotels or some of these people, you know, they could say, wait a minute, we can share the wealth a little bit here so we don't have this big distinction. Or separation, or
yeah, that's a tough one. I think that we first have to accept that it's a legitimate issue and it affects us all. At United Steps, we're looking at the cause of this. We all should care as human beings that there's people that are suffering, there's people that are struggling. We not just homeless people. We should care about any type of person that's struggling. We should care about people, battered women, people with diseases, children with no homes, or children that are basically youth at risk or something like that. So caring is one thing, but understanding how we created this environment is more important. Because if you just want to hand out things and say, okay, you know, let's all share the wealth, then you're not really getting to the root of why you caused this in the first place.
Right.
At United Steps, we are educating society on dealing with how we're causing this, how we're neglecting this, and how we are not treating this properly. And we are making sure that homeless people themselves are the ones that are giving this message through United Steps. If you go on our website, all the articles are written by homeless people.
Hmm.
So, because as a person with a home, I can't be the one saying what is it that got me in the situation if I'm not in the situation.
Right.
So if a homeless person is saying, hey, you know what? As much as I appreciate the couple of dollars that people give me every day, I'm not using it wisely. I'm spending it on drugs or I'm spending on alcohol. If you hear that from a homeless person, then you might say, wait, maybe there's something else that I should be doing. Mm-hmm. And we feel strongly that what it is that everybody needs to do is give the time, listen, pay attention, find out where this homeless person that you see, the next time you see one, find out where they're from. Find out what their interests are.
Now, how does that help?
It helps because it brings you closer to the problem and it brings them closer to the solution. If we all collectively say the solution is for every member of society to have a home, we're not saying everybody live on the same economic level. We live in a capitalist society. But at bare minimum, we all should have a home. If we're all on that page, if we agree that that's where we want to be, and it benefits us all, because it does benefit us all that we all have homes, which is another thing that we educate through United Steps, and I'll get into that in a second.
Please, because that sounds like a really great point.
If we're all on that same page, then that's the direction we're going to go. But you have to hit it both sides. You have to first admit and acknowledge that this is a problem that we created. If I spent the last 20 years thinking that it was okay to ignore homeless people, and then if I felt like it, give a couple of dollars, or under my breath, called somebody a term, like a bum or something like that, then I have to assume responsibility that I partly created this.
So you're saying assume responsibility that we partly created this by just ignoring it?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we have to look at how is this a problem for all of us, not just we see another individual that doesn't have a home. If there's 74,000 or 100,000 or 150,000, depending on who you talk to, homeless people in Los Angeles, and all those numbers, you know, dwarf every other major city, we have to figure out what are we doing to cause this. Then, how does it affect us all that we have this amount of homeless people? This is how it affects us all. One, it means there's a large segment of the population that it can't be productive.
Right.
So if there's 74,000 people or 100,000 people in L.A. County that are not equipped to work because they have no home to go to, then basically we have to make up for that economically. So we have to basically understand how that makes it basically harder for all of us if we're neglecting a segment of the population who can in fact be productive.
All right. Never thought of it that way. So these people can be productive, but they're not. But some of them used to be, and now they're not. But because they fall on hard times, or they get onto drugs, or I mean, what you're saying we are part of the cause, but what about the ones that they have their own experiences, obviously, to get them there?
When we first were putting this together, and this was November is when we started outlining the direction of United Steps, we were going to deal with those symptoms, drug issues, mental health. We thought that was the way to go. Then we actually got out every day speaking to homeless people, downtown Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Venice. And what we found was there's just as many people with homes that have mental issues or drug addictions.
Interesting.
That are homeless. And then when we investigated more, we found out that a lot of homeless people are being encouraged to say that they have a mental health issue so that they can get free medication.
Hmm.
Others, and this is based on their words, not mine, say that they're told by people on the street to act like they have a mental problem for their own personal safety.
Wow.
So
from other homeless people or from what?
From anybody, just to be able to survive on the streets,
wow.
to not have a home, that it's a survival method to act like you're crazy so that that's your protection.
Wow.
So a lot of, if we take the time and actually speak as opposed to trying to diagnose this, excuse me, from afar, and we actually speak to the source, that's when we get our answers. And as long as we're not speaking to the source, as long as we're saying, you guys go over there, we're going to go over here, as long as we're saying, let's build some shelters, we're not going to sleep in them, but these people can sleep in the shelters, and we treat them as numbers, then we're just getting further and further away from the solution. If we actually take the time and speak, even if there are 100,000 homeless people in LA, that means there's over 10 million people who aren't homeless.
Hmm.
So
hmm.
a small fraction of that 10 million, if they take the time and speak to a homeless person and create a one-on-one relationship, which is what we're doing and promoting. It's called the Partnership Program, the United Steps. Then we're going to learn more about what causes homelessness, and we will simultaneously encourage somebody to reconnect with society and follow their dreams again.
Wow. Wow. You know, you come to us thanks to Stacy Hess and through one of our producers, Mark Skelton, who I know is working closely with you on this project. And I've gotten to hear a few stories that have absolutely fascinated me. He has come to know people that are PhDs, that are brilliant musicians, that they're amazing people.
There's so many examples.
That are homeless.
Yeah, so many examples of homeless people that have tremendous talents, that have a high level of intellect, that have something to offer society. And whether it was a personal relationship that they experienced that they couldn't handle, tough economic times, you know, whatever the cause was, to hopefully just temporarily put them in the position that they're in, they still have something to offer. And you'd be surprised if you go against the grain and actually speak to a person with respect and not speak to them like you're above them, like you're authoritative, and ask them to share with you what they have to offer. A lot of homeless people do not feel like society wants what they have to offer anymore.
Hmm.
I'm 100% convinced that every human being has something to offer the world. I'm 100% convinced.
Yeah, maybe otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a human being that has nothing to offer. So just because a person doesn't have a home doesn't mean that they don't have a skill, doesn't mean they don't have passion, doesn't mean they don't have talent or an ability that needs to be shared with us. And that's another thing that I find out every day. If I'm living in this city that is the capital of homelessness, then our city is choosing to not have this talent and skill shared. So we're basically saying we don't need any more. And if you got to that point, then that means we have no work to do. And obviously we have a lot of work to do in Los Angeles. We have a lot of work to do in California, in the United States, and in the world.
Right.
And one thing that we keep reminding ourselves in our meetings at United Steps, there's a difference between a job, and we harp on joblessness, the unemployment rate, the joblessness rate. Oh, what's the percentage? We make such a big deal about that. What we forget is there's such thing as work. And there always, always has work to do, needs to be done. Excuse me, I said that wrong. There always is work that needs to be done. And if we keep reminding ourselves of that, that even if you don't have a job, even if you don't have the education that you think that you need or that you were striving for at one time, when you wake up tomorrow, there is going to be work that needs to be done, and there's going to be work that needs to be done that you can do.
Hmm.
And that goes for every individual.
And you're saying that for the for homeless people as well, there's something that they can do.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, what we've done in Los Angeles and a lot of other major cities, we've convinced them that there's no work for them.
Hmm. So in the meantime, though, they're there, and we walk by somebody, and they're asking for money. It seems like they need food. So you're saying talk to them, and some of these people seem like they don't want to talk. They just want the money for food.
Well,
and it could not be used for food, possibly. But
possibly.
I guess I'm getting at, so what do we do? I mean, what do we do?
We have to accept the fact that money given to homeless people in general is not going for the right purpose. We have to come to grips with that fact.
And you have found that out definitely through what you're doing.
Yes, okay. By speaking to homeless people.
Right.
It doesn't come from a caseworker. It doesn't come from an elected official. And I'm struggling to believe that any of them actually go out on the streets and speak to homeless people. It comes from homeless people.
Hmm.
We're not judging anybody saying you shouldn't drink or do whatever it is that you partake in, because, again, a lot of members of society that have homes partake in those activities. But what we are saying is if we choose a consensus on how to treat this issue, and we strongly feel that the consensus should be reconnection, speaking to a person, encouraging a person to want to be productive, listening to a homeless person, understanding how we're creating this problem of homelessness.
Right.
We feel that that is the only solution. There is no other solution, in my opinion. So I want to touch on the giving the money so we're clear on this. If some of us give money, if some of us provide shelter, if some of us give food, and some of us speak, then we're kind of mixing a bunch of things together, and we haven't reached a conclusion or a consensus. Now, we've tried providing shelters, giving money, giving food. We've tried that for decades.
Right.
It hasn't done anything about the numbers of homelessness. The numbers keep
going
up. Have
actually gone up, right. It's done something. It's actually gone up.
So yeah. I think we need to look at ourselves and find a method that actually is going to work.
Interesting. And you have you have a very interesting method, and so let's talk more about that. But before we do, I have to say you are committed to this, and this has become your mission, and you coming on the show today is about people becoming aware. I mean, you're not even asking for money. You are self-funding all of this. You're putting all your time and your money and your energy and effort into this, and people are wanting to even give you money, but you're saying, I want to keep it pure. Your intent is you want to abolish homelessness.
Absolutely.
And so it's not about, hey, look at what I'm doing. Let's do this, and let's say we did something and then pat ourselves on the back. You're saying, I don't care about all that. I'm here to tell you people, you know, we need to look at this, and this is my solution, and let's get on board somehow.
Right. Absolutely. The purpose of a nonprofit organization is to actually do something that benefits society. Unfortunately, like a lot of other things, we've exploited that, we've manipulated that, and we've turned those, a lot of nonprofits are basically shows. They have one or two cases. They say, look what I did with this person. They have a banquet every year, black tie. They eat some fine food. They wear some nice suits. Mm. And they celebrate because they have a couple of token cases.
Mm.
We're not interested in that. We're not interested in making a show of this. What we're interested in doing is turning the cycle around. We have a vicious cycle of homelessness.
Hmm.
We're a solution-driven organization. People have asked that have wanted to support, well, where's your business plan? My answer is this. Our business plan is our results.
Hmm.
So if we're not effective, then we don't need a business plan. We don't need anyone's money.
Hmm.
So if we don't have the solution, then why promote this effort? So we go out, we're doing what we're doing. All we want is what we are doing to be captured. That's all we want as an organization, and we want it to be shared with the rest of the world.
Okay.
So we're not trying to make a name for United Steps, we're trying to solve one major issue. It happens to be a major problem in the city I'm born and raised in, mm-hmm. Los Angeles. So I do feel a little more obligated to looking at this issue than someone else might.
Yeah, you said that when we talked before. You said, this is my home, and these people are in my backyard. And so have a sense of pride for your home, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, everybody that lives in Los Angeles should somewhat be ashamed that we're the capital of homelessness.
Hmm.
I mean, it's, I don't even, sometimes I wonder how people can just accept it. How can we just drive out to Hollywood and pass people and go to a party and drink all night and party and not feel anything for the people that we pass mm. when we go in that club and the people that we pass when we leave that club?
Mm. Well, have we become used to it? It's like, well, there is that. That exists, and there it is. And so we just, you know, and I can't do anything about that. I can give my dollar, but that's all I can do. And so you're saying there's more we can do, and the first step is talk to them.
Yes. The first step is really coming to grips with how it's affecting us all. I mentioned, you know, the fact that there's a large number of people that aren't productive because they don't have homes, so they're not basically generating income for the economy. But it also means there's a large group of people that might have to resort to crime or other things that bring down society, and we are responsible for creating that. So we have to come to grips that it affects us all. It affects us whether we're conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat, whatever religion we are, if we're not a religion. whatever age, whatever race, it affects us all, and we have to understand that.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
Okay.
Then we can go out and speak to people.
Now, and you might even be saying, actually speak to people, but I could just hear some young ladies or you know, kids saying it's not safe to do that and I shouldn't talk to strangers and some of them act weird or smell or whatever. But maybe with that speak to people also comes, or if you're not going to speak to people, at least don't put them down, or at least don't yell at them, or at least don't treat them badly, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, people have mentioned that, you know, they think it's dangerous or something like that. I hear that every week. And again, just like the drug issue, the mental health issue, we have danger in all parts of society. I'm not feeling it. I don't feel any danger when I'm speaking to a homeless person at 3 a.m. in the area that they call Skid Row. I'm not feeling any danger.
Wow.
I'm feeling liberation, you know, I'm feeling stimulation because I'm learning a new perspective about this world and about life that I didn't know.
And it's almost an attitude of there but for the grace of God go I.
Okay, I'll accept that.
So you now are saying, you know, that there is no separation here. We're one.
Right.
And
absolutely.
And if one of us is like that, then how can I ignore that? And so that's what you're doing. You're doing work from the heart.
It doesn't feel like work. It actually, when I'm out speaking to homeless people or speaking to people about homelessness, that feels like my vacation. When I'm doing something else, it feels like work.
Okay.
But
wow,
it's bringing me closer to the world. It's giving me a better understanding. I want to live, you know, be a part of the world. I don't want to be separate. I don't want to, you know, fit in some box and not understand, you know, the human effect and what we have. Again, and I'll go back to Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, the city I'm born and raised. And I don't want to just be naive about the fact that there's so many people that are in this position that don't have homes. So, you know, I haven't done this all my life, so, you know, there had to be some type of inspiration for me to get to this point. So I'm not upset that other people might label homeless people or try to apply certain stereotypes, because I'm sure I did that at one time in my life. But I'm confident that if anybody listening takes the time tomorrow when they see a homeless person to say hello, to ask them their name, and to commit to 10 minutes, I'm confident that they will find something that is so important to do and that they will realize that this is the solution to address homelessness. And the answer is right here. It doesn't cost any money. You don't have to, you can keep your money in your pocket. You don't have to go buy a sandwich or anything. Just give some time and learn about yourself while you're doing it. Don't think that you have to preach and say, oh, you did this, you did this. The reason why you're in this position is because of that. You know, be open. Learn about yourself and come to grips with the fact that we're all in this together.
Wow.
We're a part of this society. So take some responsibility that we created this. So if we have homelessness, then we have to look back at what we've done to create this. And the only way we're going to find out the solution, again, is speak to the source.
It's just so exciting, Charles, because you're at the beginning stages of this, because you started talking about it in November, but you didn't actually break ground on the whole thing until March. I mean, that's when you really launched it.
Yes.
And so now here you are, and you've got a team that's growing, and you've got people that want to be part of it, and we're only June. And so I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in a few months. And, of course, we'll be checking in. But at some point, we'd love to have you back and tell us about all the successes that we could all be proud of. And you know people are going to want to know, where do they learn more about this? So you mentioned the website. So give us the name.
The website is www.unitedsteps.org, O-R-G. The phone number is 213-624-STEP, which is 7837. And I urge people to go on the website, have an open mind, and read the articles. There's, I think, 4 articles on there right now. And be open-minded to the perspective of a person or 2 people who have been homeless for a year or 2, actually, now. And I'm so confident about this organization. I will say this. When I do come back, I want to make sure that we can have homeless people speak.
Ah, how exciting. Oh, yes. Oh, great.
So I'm a little uncomfortable speaking for homeless people, and that's why the articles on the website are written by homeless people. I don't ever want to tell a homeless person what's best for them.
Right. And you're definitely listening. And I've been listening, and I know that our audience has been listening, and I'm so glad that we were putting this out there. We've been speaking to the founder of United Steps, who is changing the way we look at homeless people in Los Angeles and hopefully the world, and also who has a mission to abolish homelessness in Los Angeles to start. So thank you again, Charles Hill, and do go to www.unitedsteps.org to learn more and to learn more about what you can do for the situation. It's great having you on the show.
Thank you. Wonderful being here. I loved it.
Well,
thank you, Filippo.
Thank you, Charles. Wow. Well, Stacy, thank you for having introduced Mark Skelton to Charles Hill, and for those reasons we have him here. Now, you are introducing luminaries all over the place. Tell us about our luminary today.
So, today I'm going to talk about a few luminaries. You know, I like to squeeze as many in as I can.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to talk about a thing, and it's funny because I wear this thing on my wrist every day. It's
I've seen you wear that thing.
I wear it all the time. It's this bracelet called the O bracelet, and it's funny because, you know, I'm always thinking, what should my luminary be? And today I looked at my wrist and I went, wow, this is a good one. So the story with the O bracelet is, and who we're really honoring are 3 organizations. One is Macy's, one is Swarovski Crystals, and one is Oprah's organization.
Ah.
And so the story, and I'm actually going to, I don't normally read, but I'm going to read today because I don't think I can articulate this any better than what is written about it. So the idea behind the O bracelet is to transform the lives of African women who make them. And originally they were made in Rwanda, and I'm not reading. anyway,
you're so good at it.
Originally they were made by women in Rwanda. And the reason this started is because in Rwanda, women are viewed as property by the men in their culture.
Hmm.
And in one particular village, a group of women banded together and they took their children and they left the village.
Wow.
And they decided to start their own village where they would no longer be held as property by men. And in order to support themselves, they started making these bracelets out of things that they had available to them.
They're beautiful.
And, yeah, thank you. And so they started selling them to people, and that's how they made money. Well, to make a really long story short, they were discovered by somebody and brought to the U.S. and brought to Oprah's attention. And over time what happened is Swarovski Crystals donates the crystals that go in them.
Wow.
And Macy's sells them on their website and Oprah promotes them. And I am going to read a little bit now because the meaning of the bracelet I think is really beautiful. There's another organization called the Fairwinds Trading Company that develops markets for artists all over the world. But the design, the bracelets are made with this woven mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind that is to represent the web of women that are making these bracelets, because now they're not just made in Rwanda, they're also made in Kenya, which is pretty war-torn right now. And so the mesh that is the outside of the bracelet represents the web of women that are making them. And then the whole idea is that they're coming together in strength and unity to create change. And then the Swarovski crystals tumble around inside, and they're supposed to express the brightness of spirit in these women that can't be dimmed.
Wow.
And so the last thing I want to talk about is how these bracelets raise money. So the way it breaks down is 15% of the profits of all the money, not the profits, 15% of all the money that is spent on these bracelets go directly to the women who make them. 10% is donated to help the villages set up a water system. 5% goes to the Rwandan staff and trainers who teach the women in Kenya to make them. 10% goes to administration of running the project in three different countries. 15% goes to pay for the materials to make them. 10% goes to packaging so that they can be shipped. 15% pays for shipping from Africa to the U.S. to get them to the people who buy them. 15% goes to Macy's to set up the website and handle the orders. And nobody is making a profit on these bracelets except for the women who make
them. Wow. Yeah, all the percentages were used up. That
yeah.
is great.
So it's a really beautiful thing. And I think that Macy's and Swarovski crystals and certainly Oprah are definitely luminaries for bringing this not only to us, to where these beautiful works of art that really represent and mean something, but also for bringing the courage and the brightness of these women who were so brave to break the boundaries that had them trapped for so many years.
Wow.
To really, really create change in the world. So.
Wow, and for themselves,
yeah.
and in so doing for the world. Stacey, thank you so much.
You're
I've
welcome.
Seen you wear that so many times and never knew the story, and now I do, and it feels good to know, and thank you. So on the website, then, we'll post
yeah.
how they can get that and
yep.
all that on
there's
here.
There's a link, and we'll post that
we'll
on the website
on the
so
website.
People can go buy them. And they're really inexpensive. They start at just $24. So,
thank
yeah.
you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For that. Thank you, Stacey Hess. And now we have the State of the Universe address by Dorothy Lee. And I was talking about Dorothy at the beginning of the show. This is just one of the many things that she does. And let's hear what she has to share with us today.
Hi. It's been a great show, and Charles is a wonderful man. An ancient Chinese curse reads, "May you live during interesting times." I believe that we are living in the most interesting times ever, but I feel blessed and not cursed. During this time of the world powers doing their work of distraction, I ask that each of us remember that these are very interesting times, but very exciting times as well. Collectively, we are the co-creators of this thing called life in the 21st century. It is collective consciousness that is bringing about the changes we seek in this beautiful world. There are people all over the world who are stepping up and making a difference. Our guest tonight is just one example of someone who cares enough to do whatever needs to be done to make effective change happen. It is up to us to remember that we are the power in our world, and we must come together and assist one another as Charles Hill has done. One of my favorite Martin Luther King quotes is this: "An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity." Thank you, Charles Hill, for being one of these awesome individuals. Every day, I read the news online. However, I only skim the headlines to see if this world is still there. After that, I look for the good news, the happy news, and I find lots of it. You can too. One happy news story I read was about a 4-year-old who went to her father in 1991 wanting to help him to help feed a homeless man. This situation gave birth to Common Sense, C-E-N-T-S, and the Penny Harvest. And now school kids all across the nation are saving pennies, and some have chosen to donate their pennies to the homeless. The kids form committees, and the committee chooses how to spend their savings. Just this month in Seattle, a class helped a homeless man get a much-needed wheelchair and temporary housing. If you wish to know more about this and are to become a part of the Penny Harvest Project, you can go to www.commonsense.org. This is just one example of the good all around us. I know that what we see manifesting in this world is the result of what is in our hearts combined with the contents of our minds. Therefore, it only makes sense for us to look for the good in the world and decide how we can add to it. If we try co-creating from a place of wanting, lack, fear, anger, desperation, jealousy, begging, beseeching, or a place of separation from self or any perceived outside self, we miss the total power of our God within. On the other hand, if we choose to co-create from our hearts and we choose to imagine, believe, think, say, and do good things to make our co-creations happen, then we can more easily become the changes we wish to see in the world. Many people all over the world are going within and determining how they can make the world a better place to live. There's one television commercial that I truly love. It visually expresses one of my favorite expressions on a bumper sticker: practice random acts of kindness and senseless beauty. The commercial shows strangers doing small acts of kindness for one another. It shows people helping people in seemingly not so important ways. I don't know if it's an effective ad for its product because I can't remember who or what the ad is for. However, it's a wonderful advertisement because of its message, and I watch it every time it comes on. Because it shows what can happen when people do kind things for each other. The first couple of times I was very impressed because of the way I felt when I saw it. It wasn't until about the third or fourth time that I noticed that the camera is not focused on the person doing the kindness or even upon the recipient. The camera is focused on a third person, on someone who witnesses the act and in each successive act of kindness performed. We watch that third person who has been inspired to perform his own act of kindness, which is then witnessed, and the cycle of kindness is repeated again and again until the final scene becomes the first scene, thus closing the circle. This commercial is an excellent example of the cause and effect cycle of good karma in action. Each time I see it, I pray that others are inspired to do an act of kindness by simply watching a commercial, and I'm grateful to the company who made this. If only one person is moved to an act of kindness by having viewed it, then the world is a better place than before. I know that many have been inspired by Mr. Hill tonight, and my hope for each of you is that you find something within you that you can and will give back to make this world a better place. You don't have to form your own nonprofit. You can choose to volunteer for one that supports what is dear to you. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please be kind to one another. Know that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. Wow. What a perfect message to end this show with today. Thank you, Dorothy Lee, as always, for inspiring us and for giving us hope for the state of our universe. And friends, that is our show for today. We'd like to thank once again Charles Hill of United Steps for being on our show, and invite you to learn more about him by going to our show archives and our website and clicking on the respective links for more information. We look forward to being together with you again next week when our guest will be Cheryl Canfield. She's the co-founder and president of the Friends of Peace Pilgrim, another nonprofit organization which is spreading the message of peace through the life and work of Peace Pilgrim, an American sage. I am sure it will be a show not to be missed. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website at www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com. And my name, Filippo, is spelled F like Frank, I, L like Larry, I, P like Paul again, and the letter O. And connect with us on our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page, or for that matter, any of our personal fan Facebook pages. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee and Stacy Hess, our show producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, and Mark Leger, and Don, our engineer, thank you for joining us in being a part of this show and being a part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we graciously embrace the only constant, life changes.